Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10 a.m. We are located just north of 51st Street on Lynn Lane in Broken Arrow. For more information, please check out our website at ablazechurch.org.
We're going to be talking about staying in the game. And by the way, this is the last part of this series, Staying in the Game. And today, it kind of brings us to the culmination of the whole thing. And that's when we celebrate the victory because the game has been won. And yet, in a certain important way, the game continues to go on. And when it seems this, that the devil is getting his way, God actually gets his. And that is something that that is at the core of our successful, victorious Christian life. Well, I kind of like those movies that the sports movies, the movies where you see maybe a hero or a team, a coach, and things move from things are really, really bad, things are all falling apart, to and ultimately they win the championship. Those are really exciting. I love Chariots of Fire. I love Hoosiers about basketball. I love The Greatest Game about golf. I kind of liked Happy Gilmore, but that's kind of marginal. How about Rudy or Knut Rockne, All-American? And these have such an compelling storyline to them. But one that really has gotten to me, and every chance I get to see it again, and we've got the DVD at home, and that is Woodlawn. And I want my grandsons to see that one too. Woodlawn, which is really a tremendous movie, and probably would have made an even bigger impact upon our society had it not been for the fact that it has a very unapologetic, specific Christian message that goes with it. Well, it is set in Birmingham, Alabama, the year is 1973. The order has come to desegregate the schools in the state. And so Birmingham is about doing this. And so the black students are moved into white schools, especially into Woodlawn High School. So you're going to integrate two separate student bodies and try to make one out of them, which generates a lot of racial hatred and tension. And it becomes a bit of a difficulty, too, with the football team because there are some black players, especially the guy by the name of Tony Nathan, who's got a lot of talent, but because of the white dominance, he is not really given the chance to play. And in the practice, there are punches and there are insults that are traded. And by the way, they learn that from their parents who are, you know, some really nasty things going on in the stands and even outside of that setting. Well, when things are looking at their worst and the coach is just so frustrated, how are we going to get this to really work? And but God had an answer. There was a man by the name of Hank Irwin. Now, Hank Irwin, by the way, this is a true story, and Hank Irwin's two sons produced this movie about their dad. He appears on the scene to encourage and to support the coach, and he's always after the coach. Let me talk to the kids. Let me talk to the boys. And the coach says, no, no, no. And finally, he says, okay, I'll give you 5 minutes. And so he announces to the assembled team, we got a motivation speaker here. I want you all to listen. So he takes his 5 minutes, but he's caught their attention. And then the 5 minutes goes on to be an hour. And during that time, he tells the story of the gospel. And he says, you know what? It doesn't have to be this way. You don't have to be that way. And he tells about how Jesus died. He gave his life. And then the opportunity is there, and you can give your life for Jesus Christ. And as he has that call and that invitation, everything is really quiet. Everybody's kind of looking at each other. And finally, one courageous young man stands up. And then another. And then another. until almost all the players make their way down to the front. And it is such a holy moment as conversion takes place, as lives are given over to Jesus Christ, and He enters into their lives. And there is the beginning of a transformation of attitude, and the hatred and the suspicion and the disunity becomes unity. And Mr. Nathan, the black football player, gets the opportunity finally to play, and he becomes a breakaway player. Ultimately, he is recruited to play for the Crimson Tide, and they win the Sugar Bowl. But as things go on, they begin to win the games, and the people begin to be united. And again, it's a miracle that happens. And by the time we get to the big game, it doesn't really matter who wins and loses or loses, because they have been experiencing victory after victory after victory. But it isn't on the football field that the victory is there. It is in their heart. It is in the society. It is in this personal human transformation that is taking place. And there is an exuberance that just breaks out. The tension that had been building up now breaks out in shouts of victory. Everything that has been bottled up, the surge within comes out. There is a celebration of victory, even though ultimately they don't win that big game, but they have won in the important game. Well, you know, these movies about sports are really not about sports. These movies really are about life. And when it's about life, and when it portrays life accurately, do you know what? It has to do with sin and hatred and disunity and broken relationships and alienation and all these kinds of things. But above all, it can show the ability of the grace of God to transform lives and even transform communities. You see, the greatest story of all is the story of Jesus Christ. His victory over the devastating effects of sin that distort human lives. 2 Corinthians, in the second chapter, verse 14. This is, by the way, I'm just going to tell you, it's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. And I look to that and I'm encouraged. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in the victory parade, huh? How would that be? Victory parade. And then through us, He spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere, a transforming power. And so we are celebrating, we are thanking God because we're always being led. When our lives are led by Him, we walk in victory. When our lives are not being led by Him and we go our own way, the victory evaporates. You see, there is a big drama that's going on, and something beyond what the movies can portray. This is actually a cosmic drama. Everything in all creation is involved in this drama, and there is hatred, and there is conflict, and there is danger, there is sin. But the cosmic drama actually involves every human being that is living on this earth. You and I are on stage, as are countless millions of people on stage. And something is going on. We're participants. And it's a winner-take-all kind of a deal. And we don't always realize it because the battle is invisible. It is in that spiritual realm, but the stakes are high. And the dangers are great. And the conflict is constant. And the battle is fierce. But sometimes we don't realize it, and then all of a sudden, it becomes very evident. Think about Chippy the parakeet. One moment, Chippy is happily swinging on his perch in the cage, singing a song, chattering away, and the next minute, he's sucked in, washed up, and blown over. Well, it kind of happened like this. One day, the owner of Chippy decided, time to clean out Chippy's cage. So she took the vacuum cleaner, and then there's the attachment that'll help her to, you know, clean up that cage. She puts that in there. Things are going along just fine, and the phone rings. She turns her attention away from there, and she answers the phone. And so, oh, and she looks back. Where's Chippy? Chippy is gone. Whoa, she stops the vacuum cleaner. She opens it up, takes it apart, takes out the bag, And there is poor Chippy. Poor Chippy, you know? Staying alive, staying alive. But barely, only barely alive. So she grabbed him, she shook him off, and she puts him under the cold water faucet a full 2 minutes to get all the dirt out. And she realizes that poor bird is just shivering and shaking there. So she took the hairdryer and gave him a blast until she was satisfied that he was dry. But there's poor Chippy. He just hadn't seen it coming. Oh, he never knew it hit him. Well, that story hit the newspapers, and after a few days, a reporter called the lady and said, "How is Chippy doing?" And she said, "Well, Chippy just doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares." You know, life can be like that. It happens when the song is gone, or when that happens, where does the song go, huh? We feel sucked in, splashed up, nearly blown away. And it's not if this might happen in our lives, it's when this happens in our lives. You know, that it is common to human experience. You're not the only one that has ever experienced something like that. Only thing is that your story has slightly different details to it. But it's the common human story. And it may be happening that your song is gone, or might have happened at some point in the past, or you say maybe some point in the future. Maybe you haven't sung a whole lot recently. Have you gone through tough times when things changed unexpectedly and maybe way too quickly? You got sucked up into the vacuum of despair. How are we gonna get by? This is really bad. You know, maybe it happens a pink slip gets handed out. Maybe you didn't get that pink slip. Maybe your spouse did, or maybe one of your friends did at work. Oh, it just, everything kind of goes down. Or divorce papers are served, or the doctor says, "We're going to have to do a few more tests. I don't like what I see." Or the doorbell rings and there's a cop on your doorstep. Oh, no. And then sometimes it maybe isn't quite that devastating in the long term, but for right now, it seems like it's the end of the world. You got in the wrong line in the supermarket, and your cell phone rings, and it's your spouse saying, "You better not be late today, because..." And then finally you get through, and the person just immediately ahead of you, it's too late to change lanes. That person ahead of you, there's something wrong with the card, and they have to take something back, and there's a little argument as to what the price is on that particular thing. There you are, stuck, and then you get out into the traffic, and it's the traffic jam, and then when the traffic jam is in, the next sign says, "Road construction ahead, road work." Oh, really, really bad. Now, for me, it would be when one of my growing kids would say to me, "Dad, yeah, promise you won't get mad if I tell you something." Oh, man. Well, maybe there are times when your song is gone. Maybe there are times when it's AWOL. Maybe there are times when the song is lost. You know what? Jesus is all about lost things. He tells a story about a lost coin, a lost sheep, a lost son. Or about, how about a lost cause like it seemed for the people of Israel? As I was introducing the reading of Exodus 15, you know, there's the army of Pharaoh behind them and the Red Sea in front of them. I don't think they felt much like that, like singing a song at that point. In fact, is there whining, complaining, griping? What's the matter? Not enough graves in Egypt? You had to bring us up here so we could all die? They don't feel like celebrating. The song is gone. And then a couple of generations and a couple centuries later, the people of Israel, they have been defeated, deflated, and they are exiled in the land of Babylon. And this is what they said. It says in Psalm 137, "By the rivers of Babylon," Babylon, that's the capital of a big empire. We're captives here. There we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. And on the willows there we hung up our lyres. Time to hang up the harp, huh? You ever had that happen in your life? What a terrible time. Or think about those guys that have been with Jesus. We call them disciples for 3 long years. Boy, they got really, really close to him. Their best friend, life-changing teaching. They hung on to every word that he said. They saw all the things that he did, healing the sick people, even raising dead people. One time there was a storm at sea that he just spoke a word and it came to a screeching halt, stopped so fast there were skid marks right there on the Sea of Galilee. They trusted him. They loved him. And they had never met anyone like him, ever. And now he's gone. Been arrested, tried, convicted, condemned, sentenced, crucified, died, buried, and put in this tomb and a huge multi-ton rock placed in front of that tomb. So what do the disciples do? Well, they just sit and stare. Their song is gone, just like Chippy. All the oxygen sucked out. Yeah, and even one of their group had been the guy that betrayed them, got that whole thing started. But now, it doesn't end there. You know that. The song came back. So this is the song that came back. See, the lost sheep got rescued. The lost coin got found. The lost son found his way back home. Pharaoh's army is drowned in the sea, and the people of Israel are safe on the other side. And you know what the best part is? You want to know what the best part is? I hope you know. It means sins forgiven. It means being made right with God, because there's a victory where we all get to be participants in that victory. And every Sunday is a day that we celebrate. Something happened that so that our world would never, ever be the same again. And it was a victory not on a golf course, not on a basketball court, not on the soccer field, but it is a victory in the realm of life itself. And it's even bigger than our town winning the World Series. Okay, so your town wins the World Series. Big deal. There's a big celebration. Yeah, everybody goes nuts. It's a wild time. But what does it leave behind? A whole lot of trash, vandalism, looting, and the next day the hangovers. Now we got to clean up. But we're back in just a short time. Everything fades back into that dreary existence without the song, without the song. Well, if we talk about what we have to celebrate and what our song is, we're talking about nothing less than the resurrection of Jesus. That brings the celebration back to life. That means there is resurrection from dead ends in our lives, a victory that makes all of a difference. Not, oh, it makes a big difference. It's the whole difference in life. Everything. Death is now transformed into a doorway into the most incredible life. It means there is now no longer any condemnation against you. It means every sin is forgiven. It means that no matter how lost and how confused you might have felt in your life, you are found by Him. You see, when Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished," by the resurrection, the Father said, "Amen to that." It means that God's justice has been satisfied in this crucifixion of His Son. The resurrection says, "Yes." The Father shouting, "Good job, Jesus, well done. You finished the job that we sent you to do." And the angels are up there high-fiving each other, and God is so glad. And that joy spills out and it spills over. And He says, and the Holy Spirit brings it to us that we get to celebrate that too. And there's a song. The song's already been written in the 5th chapter of Revelation. Oh, this is the future song. It says, "Worthy." Oh, you know what? We get to sing it anyway already. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And you know, the words go on. It's almost like you run out of your own words, and the Holy Spirit just gives you words beyond words to express and to shout and to celebrate. Wow, what a great thing. And for all those people who have their trust fixed in Jesus Christ, they can join in that celebration and sing with the angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. Laud and magnify his glorious name, evermore praising him and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Nothing in heaven and earth is greater than the song of celebration that spontaneously arises out of the heart of that has been set free in the completed work of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. What a thing to hear, but I'm going to tell you, there's something I'll never hear. I'll never hear, okay? In my life, well, I am never going to hear Lincoln Riley on the phone calling me saying, could you play quarterback? I said, well, of course not. I'm not a student at your university. I said, oh, yeah, that's right. Well, could you take Mike Stoops' place? I'll never hear that. I will never hear Billy Graham calling and saying, by the way, I got this terrible headache, and would you preach this weekend at this big crusade? And I'd say, Billy, you're dead. I can't do that. And then I'll never hear a stranger coming up to me and asking, aren't you Tom Cruise? May I have your autograph? And I used to get that a lot. Not anymore. Oh, yeah. And one thing I will never hear is God saying, Art Spomer, you make me so sick. Get out of my presence. I just don't care for you. I don't love you. I'll never hear that. You will never hear your name connected to that either, will you? But I will hear God say, I love you. I will hear him say, I forgive you. And by the way, in a few minutes, we're going to hear that in a very specific kind of a way. You see, you're going to hear him saying, I've got a mansion ready, prepared. Your nameplate is there. And Connie's name is right on top of that. Wow. What a great thing. Come on in. It's all ready for you. We want to hear that. You see, there's something to celebrate. You know what we do when Easter comes along? We have a kind of a specific way of celebrating that. And I know you've done that before. You know, I say something and you say something. Why don't we just do the celebrating already? And I'm going to say, Christ is risen. You say,
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Okay. Colossians 2:15, the last verse of that one of those readings this morning. And this is what happened. He is Jesus, disarm the rulers and authorities, and those are the evil authorities, evil rulers, the powers of Satan, and put them to open shame. You know, there's a lot about shaming today. You know, and the devil's been shamed by triumphing over them in him. Wow. We have the victory. It's ours. That also talked about canceling the debt that stood against us. It's all been paid by Jesus. He overcame all the works of the enemy. Disarming, took away all their Second Amendment rights. And we have the victory. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph. Now that's something to celebrate.